The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Memorials are expected all weekend long to honor Floyd's life, 5 years after an officer kneeled on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Now, starting one of the largest protest movements in American history, you're back on the scene today at George Floyd Square. What is it like?
Look, it is much more peaceful. There are gardeners that come on a daily basis to make sure that the flowers and plants here survive. They make sure that this stays clean and pristine so that people can come here in a place of calm and cleanliness. But there is also a great deal on this day of love here. People feel like this is the homecoming, and they're coming from all over the country.
The change that we want to see has not come.
As we just heard, the Trump administration is walking away from police reform settlements in two major cities just days before the anniversary of George Floyd's murder.
Well, today marks 5 years since the murder of George Floyd. This weekend, Minneapolis is holding a street festival called Rise and Remembrance in his honor. It features music, art, and prayer services, too.
Today, the Rise and Remember Festival will continue in Floyd's honor. There'll also be a service, a gospel concert, and a candlelight vigil this evening.
5 years since George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis by former police officer Derek Chauvin. Floyd's death sparked nationwide outrage and calls for sweeping police reform in departments across the country. But this week, the Justice Department announced it is dismissing federal consent decrees and probes in several cities, including Minneapolis. Skylar Henry rode along with the city's current police chief to see what's changed since Floyd's death and the challenges that still exist.
We rode along with the chief to areas the department identifies as hotspots or where crime is at its worst, like this corner, where a six-year-old girl was killed by a stray bullet.
When you have that much gunfire, that's how you have innocent kids getting hit by bullets.
Minneapolis is one of the few major American cities where the violent crime rate has not improved much since 2020. Police data shows shootings are trending down. O'Hara says the department is doing the best it can, operating with far fewer officers than are needed.
I've been standing there with boys, teenagers, men are dead in the street, and mom is behind the crime scene tape wailing, and I'm going through my head thinking, we've had so many murders already this week. What happens if someone else dies? We don't have enough homicide investigators.
Sometime back, I received, in the name of our country, the bodies of four Marines who had died while on active duty. I said then that there is a special sadness that accompanies the death of a serviceman, for we're never quite good enough to them. Not really. We can't be, because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. And so when a serviceman dies, it's a tear in the fabric, a break in the whole, and all we can do is remember. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us.
What a contrast. The dead that we respect and honor the most says a lot about who we are as a people. Here we are on Memorial Day weekend, of all weekends. And how much do you think the regime media, how much attention are they giving to St. Floyd? It's as if they worship the drug addict. He held his girlfriend hostage at gunpoint. And all of these tributes to the drug, the career criminal. And here on Memorial Day weekend, we're supposed to remember our honored dead, those that made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. And as you heard President Reagan from 40 years ago say, most of them just young men with their whole lives ahead of them. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. I was going to say Memorial Day. I'll say it. Thank you for joining us. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. So the tributes are coming, and not for those that have sacrificed their lives for America. And there have been tens of hundreds of thousands, in fact. We just a month ago, we just passed the, what was it, the 40-year anniversary or 50-year anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. And there's lots of lessons that we ought to be learning from this. What was it, 55, 56,000 American lives slaughtered in that war? And a war, by the way, that America lost. The Bible, I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about remembering. It has a lot to say about you make sure you set up a monument and don't forget. You remember this memorial. There are so many lessons to be learned if we would just remember our history, but we're forgetting so much of it. But you see there what the regime media will not forget. I mean, even 9/11, I haven't looked at the numbers of minutes of coverage. What about 5 years on from 9/11? How much did CBS and all of these regime media outlets give coverage to this attack on America 5 years on? You know, go back to 2006. It wasn't that many years after 9/11 where you had news outlets that wouldn't even show the buildings coming down. But for St. Floyd, now that's different. This weekend, it's 5 years. And they'll keep going. 10 years, they'll have all of these celebrations, all of these special ceremonies in honor of the career criminal, the lawless man, the drug addict who was high on drugs the day he died. And yet the tributes just keep coming in. Politico says police reform and civil rights activists joined thousands of ordinary people on Sunday to mark the fifth anniversary of George Floyd's murder and decry the Trump administration for actions they say set their efforts back decades. Al Sharpton said at a graveside service with the dead man's family in Houston, he said it represented all those who are defenseless against people who thought they could put their knee on our neck. He compared Floyd's killing to that of Emmett Till. Well, and on it goes. And he says, I saw a clip of it this morning. Yeah, it all happened under Trump's watch. Like it's Trump's fault, of course. Blame it on Orange Hitler. MSNBC, 5 years ago, the world watched a video of a man whose neck was pressed under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer begging for his life. I can't breathe, George Floyd said over and over. George Floyd was a father, a friend, a human, and his life mattered. Well, they leave a few details out, but we'll leave that aside. He was a father. Was he a present father? Was he a family man, really? Is that what MSNBC is saying? Was he a kind husband? Was he a husband? The Federalist says if Helen of Troy had a face that launched 1,000 ships, George Floyd was the convict who lit 1,000 fires. I mean, this is much closer to the truth. I'll get to the numbers in just a second. The violence, the murder that skyrocketed after this man was made a saint. Is that good? Is that a good thing? He dies and then there's all kinds of other murders because of it? Well, I guess that's what the regime media is telling us. This is the great, on Memorial Day weekend, forget about the honored dead. Let's think about this man. And let's think about all the wonderful change that he brought about. He was a martyr. It really is pretty sickening. Helen is a myth. In many ways, so is George. Leftist America mythology. It's a precious narrative, and as we've seen over the years on this program, I mean, when the radical left grabs hold of one of their precious narratives, they're not going to let go anytime soon. They will memorialize George Floyd, January 6th, you know, whatever it is that follows on their left-wing agenda. And here on Memorial Day of all days, probably nothing. Probably zero. Let's see how much they cover President Trump at Arlington Cemetery. Our honored dead. The ultimate sacrifice. What a difference. I mean, that clip of Ronald Reagan was from 40 years ago, 1985. And he's talking about four Marines that came home dead and gives a moving tribute. A moving speech. Those are the kinds of speeches that should be all over the place today. And there's a few here and there. But not nearly enough. How much of our history, how much of the sacrifices have we forgotten? How willing are we to sacrifice like those before us? And it says a lot, too, or at least it reminds us of just how much the history of man is, as Churchill said, the history of war. We better give some thought to this, because Jesus said in the last days there would be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be a lot of war dead. That's just the truth. That's what the Bible prophesies. What we honor, what we memorialize, it says a lot about who and what we are as a people. From Front Page Magazine. I mean, this is stunning to me. It's been 5 years since the overdose death of George Floyd, which came during a violent struggle with police by a career criminal, was exploited to suppress law enforcement and unleash nationwide race riots. Don't forget that angle of this story. The radical left, the regime, they use this as a pretext to suppress law enforcement. And it happened instantly. Instantly, not just in Minneapolis, all over the place. As police officers were told to stand down. You just got to let the violence play out. And it did. And so did the looting. And so did the maiming, the robbing, all of that. It says here, was exploited to suppress a law enforcement or law enforcement and unleash nationwide race riots and a crime wave that, among other devastating effects, killed over 3,000 people. Yeah, let's talk about the crime wave. Let's talk about the innocents that died in that wave after they crowned Floyd a saint. It says 3,595 black people were murdered in 2019, but in 2020, 5,839 black people were murdered. That's more than 2,000 black people murdered, just compared to the year before. 2,300 more blacks were murdered following the Summer of Love. In the George Floyd year, That's an additional 2,244 black people killed. 56% of the murder victims of 2020 were black. And yet they want to go after Donald Trump, who's white. They want to go after the white community, white law enforcement officers. 3,060 white and Latino people were killed in 2019, which rose to 4,167 in 2020. That's a 36% increase. So a 56% increase in murders targeting black people and a 36% increase on whites and Latinos. Just year over year, 2019 to 2020. The 36% increase is devastating, but the number of black people murdered in 2020 shot up 62%. Front Page Magazine says here, 3,000 deaths is a whole lot more impressive than a golden coffin and members of Congress kneeling, but Floyd was just an instrument. The radical left now champions Hamas. There you go. It says next Tuesday it will be some other means of mobilizing rage to generate violence and its ultimate goal of a political revolution. See, there's, as you know from America Under Attack, there's an ongoing war here at home as well, on our own soil, as we've opened the floodgates to illegal immigration, all kinds of narcotics, illegal drugs, human and sex trafficking. It's a nation where curses have set in, bitter affliction, as the Bible calls it. God did intervene, as we know, to prevent America from being just entirely blotted out. But you see these forces of destruction, they're all over the place. To use George Floyd as an excuse for violence, mayhem, disorder, murder, robbing, looting, and to have this many people, this many more people murdered because of it. And then you see all of these people in fancy suits talking about George Floyd, the patron saint, talking about him as if he's our honored dead. No, actually our honored dead. You can read about it, whether it's Vietnam or whether it's the deaths in Iraq or the war against terrorism, going back to the Civil War. There's lots to memorialize there. And it's moving. Ken Burns, he had that series on the Civil War, and I know he's a left-winger, but it's moving. You know, you listen to some of our more famous historians writing about our war dead, writing about young people that just wanted to get into the struggle and fight for their country. Some of them lied about their age so that they could go off and fight in the Civil War at 16. It's a different time today. It's a different time than it was in 1985 when President Reagan gave that speech. All of these deaths brought on by a regime that, as you heard there, that wants political revolution. The media is running pieces about how the wave of change from George Floyd's death faded away. It hasn't entirely. Crime rates are improving, but the dead aren't coming back. The racist BLM movement killed thousands of people with its pro-crime advocacy. The campaign was funded by powerful foundations and donors. There have been no apologies or retractions. What there really should be are trials. But far from an apology or a retraction, you're hearing people to this day praising the crime wave. I mean, politicians aren't stupid. They've backed away from the defund the police movement. Remember that? Remember that in the summer of love? Let's defund the police. Let's defund law enforcement. Why? Well, because they're all like Derek Chauvin. So don't give them any money. Just let the criminals run the streets. What a deranged mentality that is. They've backed away, some of the Democrats, because they've since been voted out of office, some of them, many of them. Our honored dead. That's what today's memorial is for. Those slain Marines that Ronald Reagan referenced back in 1985. It is something to pause and to think on, particularly when you see a world that's arming for war. More war is coming. It is. Winston Churchill said, "All great struggles of history have been won by superior willpower, wresting victory in the teeth of odds." Do you think America has superior willpower today? In the morning brief, Joel Hilliker says, "This day we remember the sacrifices made to secure the freedoms we enjoy. Will America keep those freedoms?" John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We better be a religious and moral people, or it's all going to fall apart. We're going to lose those precious freedoms." It says, this makes new polling data that Andrew Miller reports on in our featured story this morning concerning. It shows that most Americans do not believe in absolute difference between right and wrong. We don't, it's every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. And you look at the world we're living in today, I've touched on it quite a lot in recent programs. The dangerous, perilous times that we're living in. Jesus comparing it to Sodom and Gomorrah, to the days before the flood. The story of the human race is war, Winston Churchill said. That's been our story. It's not even like it's just a modern day thing. But the thing about the modern day is we have nuclear weapons. They're all over the earth. There's tens of thousands of them. And you look at the history, going back before Vietnam or the Korean War, World War II. I mean, these have been the most devastating, deadliest wars in history we're talking about. World Wars I and II, that's within the past century plus. Have we learned the lessons coming out from those wars? I've talked about the Holocaust and the exhibit at the UN and how they've watered it down and how they've downplayed it and how they're lifting other tragedies up to the level of killing 6 million Jews. I mean, there's lots of tragedies to go around. But then this spirit of hatred, Jew hatred, anti-Semitism, that's the world we're living in. Churchill said, except for brief and precarious interludes, there has never been peace in the world. Well, that's not a very popular message. I think there was at the White House website today, there was a prayer for peace. And of course, we hear a lot about peace. Hegseth, he's at the Pentagon. Play the Hegseth soundbite where he is talking about how only Donald Trump is going to be able to make peace between Ukraine and Russia.
Now, as we see with Vladimir Putin and Zelensky, there's only one man on the planet. And this is true. This is not hyperbole. One man on the planet who could bring them to the table and forge a lasting peace. And he's doing that right now. We're in the process of doing that. That is unique to Donald Trump because he's strategically unpredictable. He's strong. He's clear. And he's respected on the world stage. I think the same is true in Iran. We know the double talk of the Ayatollahs. You know it. You lay it out. I understand it. There have been secret, duplicitous moves for years and years and years. But we are at a moment under this administration where President Trump is giving them an offer. He is saying, now is your chance. to come to the table and completely give up and dismantle your program, let's talk. I'd prefer to talk rather than do anything else.
And you can't just fault his optimism. And he's in Trump's government, so you're going to expect someone to be very supportive of the president. But even the president himself over the weekend, he came out and you saw this in the morning brief as well. I mean, he finally criticized Vladimir Putin. Instead of calling him a nice gentleman, he finally said, I don't know what's going on with Vladimir Putin. Which clip is that one? If you guys can find it, go ahead and play it. Oh,
I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
President, what do you want to do about that?
I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. We'll see what we're going to do. What am I going to tell you? You're the fake news, aren't you? You're totally fake. All right, any other questions? I don't like what Putin is doing, not even a little bit. He's killing people. And something happened to this guy, and I don't like it.
More of that, please. I'm not sure something happened to him. He's always been this way. And the Kremlin, for its part, they responded to this. So finally, some realism coming from the Trump administration. Maybe not as much from Hegseth. But, we're having talks and the bombs are flying. We're having talks. Remember, these are people that think anything can be solved through negotiation. Anything. We're having talks and Putin is firing missiles into Ukraine. I mentioned, again, these verses that say how much worse and worse and worse it's all going to get in these last days. And a lot of that is because of just how powerful the weapons are in our modern era. But then at the same time, I mean, look at the spirit behind the Summer of Love. All of these people being killed, murdered, robbed, looted. And none of that comes up in all these tributes. The people that suffered and are still suffering to this day because of St. Floyd. Winston Churchill said, "War, which used to be cruel and magnificent, has now become cruel and squalid." In other words, we're not getting any better. We're getting worse. And we're becoming more cruel. Do we have the willpower, the moral fortitude to stand strong against evil, pure evil? Well, judging by that study, most Americans don't even know if there's an absolute difference between right and wrong. I mean, who's to say Hamas is right or wrong? Or the Jews? Or Qatar, or the mullahs, or Putin. I mean, that clip you just heard there, I mean, that follows all these other wonderfully, wonderfully positive, encouraging statements about Vladimir Putin. How many times have we been fooled or deceived by words? Words that sound like people want peace. And then you have the appalling coverage brought to you by the regime media. Minneapolis burning from behind. And then the reporter looking around saying, I think it's mostly peaceful. Yeah, I think this is a peaceful movement. In the morning brief, Israel will strike Iran's nuclear facilities within days. That's according to the Middle East Forum. So is this a world filled with peace, or is Churchill's assessment right? Except for brief and precarious interludes, there has never been peace in the world. So was he right, or are the peacemakers today right? There's an interlude here and there, but even that's precarious. even in that, you see violence, you see war like Ukraine. You see October 7, a year and a half ago. You see the summer of love. And you see the thousands murdered because law enforcement was told, hey, you stand down. We got to do this for Floyd. And so police, a lot of police officers, it's hopefully it's better now, but a lot of police officers didn't even go into black neighborhoods like they used to, following Floyd, following St. Floyd, because everyone's going to have their camera out. Everyone's going to see if there's, you know, abusive force. The criminals just were given free rein for months. And that's why the murder stats skyrocketed in 2020 compared to 2019. Who's to blame for that? A lot of people, politicians, the media, siding with the criminals, siding with Hamas. Israel on the brink of striking out at Iran, perhaps. And then you have all these other stories about the world that's rearming. GermanForeignPolicy.com, Military Republic of Germany. I mean, like Mr. Armstrong said way back in the day, many, many years ago, decades ago, Germany, ever since they lost World War I, they were planning to win in World War II. Ever since they lost World War II, they were planning to come back and finally win. And just because there's been a few decades, an interlude, with a kind of a precarious peace, it doesn't mean that it's not happening again. History's going to repeat itself. That's why we do need to pay attention to the right kind of memorials and look to the right monuments. Play what President Trump said about the EU. As you know, he's been saying there, they've treated us in a nasty manner. They're nastier than some of America's adversaries. And, you know, through it all, I've been telling you to make sure you see how Europe is viewing this. Clip six.
For a deal in 9 days, will you be able to do this?
I'm not looking for a deal. I mean, we've set the deal. It's at 50%. But again, there is no tariff if they build their plant here.
Is there anything the EU...
I don't know. We're going to see what happens. But right now, it's going on June 1st. And that's the way it is. No, they haven't treated us properly. They haven't treated our country properly. They banded together to take advantage of us. The European Union, I mean, the sole purpose was really to, not to hurt us, but to take advantage of us. And we're not going to be taken advantage.
They're out to take advantage of us. And the European elites, they don't like this talk. They don't like this war of rhetoric, and they're fast and furiously working to build up a military, the strongest conventional army in Europe. That's GermanForeignPolicy.com, talking about Germany. Germany's foreign minister expressed his explicit support for the project. The projected new NATO target of spending 5% instead of 2%. Of Germany's gross domestic product on military spending. You know, the lead up to President Trump's first term where it was all he could do to just get people to pay 2%. Now they're, hey, let's pay 5%. We got to work fast here. We got to build this up quick. It says with a massive debt-financed arms buildup, the Bundeswehr could actually outpace the French armed forces. This is happening right now. It's something to think on Memorial Day. Strengthening the Bundeswehr has absolute priority in all the German government's activities. It is number one on our agenda, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz confirmed in his government policy statement last Wednesday. It's the number one priority. Germany is rearming. Germany is preparing for war. it's not going to take much for them to switch, as we've already reported on this show, I mean, to switch those manufacturing plants over to where they can be producing armaments. No longer Volkswagen, but now we can produce the armaments that the Bundeswehr needs. We've got the funding. It's going to stimulate the economy. It says here a little further on, in addition, the government intends to transform Germany into a powerhouse of growth that the world will look upon in admiration. Germany's foreign minister defined the scope and the aim of the arms buildup on the sidelines of a meeting with his NATO counterparts in Turkey. The plan confirmed by Merz and the foreign minister to upgrade the Bundeswehr to become the strongest conventional armed forces in Europe and take on the leadership role among European NATO countries. Further on, it says, however, it's highly doubtful that these two countries will be able to increase their military budgets comparably to Germany. It's talking about Great Britain and I think France. Until now, the automotive industry has by far been the largest and most powerful sector in the Federal Republic of Germany. Further down, it says, it proposes that the process of automotive plants being taken over by defense plants, a process that has long since been in progress, be accelerated. The manufacturing plants are already there. They just need to realign their focus with the new Germany, the dominant Germany, the Germany that's not just dominating the continent economically, but that's about to dominate the continent militarily. There's a lot of war dead that remind us of who our historical allies and enemies have been. Lots of lessons to learn. It says here, moreover, Germany's facing a massive militarization of society. The spirit of collective martyrdom is the cardinal resource of every military defense and must therefore be promoted. We're all in it. We're all on board. I gave you that quote a few weeks ago. The 18-year-old girl who said, yeah, I mean, I was a peacenik. Now, I want to see our military. I mean, the attitude, the mindset is changing and fast in Germany. The budget is being increased for military spending. The manufacturing plants are there. The spirit of war is in the air. Except for a few interludes, precarious interludes of peace, the story of the human race is war. Churchill was right. Your Bible's right. Because your Bible says when they say peace, when they say safety, then just know sudden destruction's coming. Get ready for it. This is from The Guardian. German troops start first permanent foreign deployment since the Second World War. Well, there's another first. Heavy combat unit of 4,800 soldiers and 200 civilian staff inaugurated in Lithuania on NATO's eastern flank. The German chancellor has visited Lithuania to mark Berlin's first permanent foreign troop deployment since the Second World War. So that's a big step. That's an inflection point. Pretty amazing. And then you've got, as I played for you, Donald Trump turning on Putin to some degree. There's one last story I think I can hit. The New York Times. A lot of this is because of the United States helping to shape, in this case, the Psalm 83 Alliance. EU to lift economic sanctions on Syria in a bid to bolster stability. European Union foreign minister, you know Syria, it's got the Al-Qaeda guy at the top now, forget his name. European Union foreign ministers agreed on Tuesday to lift the remaining economic sanctions on Syria, hoping to help the nation recover as it tries to find a stable footing after years of war and the toppling of President Bashar al-Assad in late 2024. And then you've got all these European leaders saying, we want to help Syria to rebuild. And of course, the Trump administration is there to say, yeah, we're in it too. We want to lift the sanctions. And it's just allowing these alliances to emerge. It's really astonishing to see just how fast this is all unfolding. There's a lot in our literature about war, about spiritual warriors, about being a soldier. There's an entire passage in Ephesians 6 about putting on armor. Of course, it's all talking about doing that in the spiritual sense, not actually taking up physical arms. 2 Timothy 2, Paul has a long section there where he's telling Timothy, look, you've got to look for soldiers. You've got to look for those who are willing to fight for the truth, who are willing to stand up to their adversary. That quote, I should find it again, that one from Churchill just talking about what's needed in war. Here's what he said again. All great struggles of history have been won by superior willpower. Spiritually speaking, I mean, we need the power of God to fight for God, to finish the race that we're in. I was thinking, just in following the Memorial Day theme, I was thinking about this verse this morning when preparing the show, Hebrews 11 and verse 13, where it talks about, well, the whole chapter talks about spiritual warriors, and a lot of them had to really suffer through violence and pain to faithfully obey God. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All of these faithful warriors, they died in faith. They died with their eyes on the prize, looking forward, seeking the kingdom, seeking righteousness. I mean, the colossal tragedy of our age, our time, in the spiritual sense, has been tens of thousands of Laodicean Christians, lukewarm Christians, that didn't stay the course. They stopped fighting. They stopped looking to the power of God. They stopped following in the steps of Christ. They fell away from the truth. I mean, this great rebellion, this great falling away, it's talked about in so many passages of Scripture in the New Testament. And so many of us live through it. It is a fight. It is a struggle. I mean, even in the spiritual sense, even if you're not being, you know, violently persecuted, you still have to deny the self and crucify the old man every day. That's what the Christian battle is all about. This is from Herbert Armstrong. He wrote this many years ago. He said about so many of these heroes mentioned in Hebrews 11 and elsewhere. He said, Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, common, humble, ordinary men themselves, all had that power, the same identical power Jesus had, because they lived and they walked close to God and were filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, Paul was executed. Peter was martyred. Stephen was stoned to death. That was not a peaceful end, but they died in faith. They're great warriors, and we honor these dead. We do. We honor them for their passion, for their obedience, for their faithfulness. We look to them. We look to Jesus Christ. This is glorious history. We are proud to be a part of it. Mr. Armstrong said, we seem to lack that power today, not because God denies us that power, but because we're so close to a modern materialistic world. Our minds are so filled with the material interests of this life. Our minds and our hearts are so far from God, so far from God. I mean, as I said, look at the contrast of the cold open to see just how far removed we are from just a love of God, a love for country. Instead, you have all of these tributes for a career criminal. That's what it amounts to. When there's so many lessons that we need to be learning, that we need to be reminded of, that we need to stay grounded in. In 2 Thessalonians 2, in verse 15, it says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Hold fast, stand firm, it says in the Revised Standard Version. Stay grounded in your history. We've written in our literature about the law of history. I've given you some quotes today from Churchill about the history of war and what it takes to come out victorious. The Bible lays out the battle plan. Our booklet, the Overcomer booklet, How to Be an Overcomer. If you haven't read through that or you don't have a copy of it, make sure you call our operators today. There's no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, you can see it there, 1-866-930-3024. And you see the image there on the front cover, the image of this warrior with a sword that just brings to mind Ephesians 6 straight away. God says, put on the whole armor of God. You need all of it. And we also need these traditions, this history, our memorials, to just be reminded of what it takes. What about all those individuals in Hebrews 11 that died in faith? Don't forget that. In the Ezekiel booklet, my father writes, Satan is very hostile to history, and he works extremely hard to destroy it. He wants Israel to forget its history. He wants the church to forget its history. And most of all, he's working to destroy his own history. He's been quite successful in these endeavors. He is the father of destruction and murder and lies. And yet, he presents himself as an angel of light. I'm just here to bring peace. I'm just here to have dialogue, to sit down and establish these lines of communication. And then peace will break out and spread over all the world. That is the devil's mindset. That is his thinking. But God exposes his true intentions, his pure evil. He says, no, he's a roaring lion. And he's looking for people to devour, to destroy. We've got to be clear-eyed about what's evil and what's righteous, and be active, diligent pursuers of what's righteous and true and holy and pure. Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God will just bless you fabulously. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll conclude today's show with Friday's segment of World Watch. You regular watchers probably thought, what happened? Well, we forgot about it. It was ready. It was prepared. But as it happens on this show from time to time, we get into it. We're busy preparing the notes and so on, the clips, and we forget about the World Watch segment. So we'll roll that over onto this Memorial Day special. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
The People's Liberation Army of China and the Royal Cambodian Armed Forces are holding joint military exercises called the Golden Dragon from May 14th to 28th. China and Cambodia have deepened their military cooperation since staging the first iteration of Golden Dragon in 2016. The drills have been held every year since, as soldiers and military planners from the two nations prepare for a future when they will fight shoulder to shoulder. The Bible prophesies a seismic Asian military alliance that will play a key role in a coming global war. China continues to forge strategic partnerships with neighboring Asian nations as it rises to become a formidable military superpower that will steer the world toward war. To understand where these events are leading, read Russia and China in Prophecy. Recent satellite images obtained by Swedish broadcaster SVT reveal a large Russian military buildup near Finland's eastern border, Helsinki Times reported on May 10th. Analysts say Russia has been expanding its accommodations for troops, aircraft deployment, and infrastructure at military bases near the border. The buildup is especially worrying considering the last time the Russian military built up along Europe's eastern border was in February 2022. Just before it launched the war on Ukraine. Finland joined NATO in 2023, which extended the alliance's border with Russia by over 800 miles. Russia said there would be military technical response measures. European countries bordering Russia are growing increasingly fearful of Russia's ever-expanding military. Some reports warn that Russia could launch a large-scale war with Europe within 5 years. Bible prophecy reveals that Russia will not be the first power Europe will war with directly, but Russian aggression will be a major driver behind the prophesied militarization and unification of Europe. To learn more, read Russia's War on Ukraine is Reshaping Europe. More than 500 business leaders and government officials from China and the European Union met in Beijing on May 14th to work toward expanding trade between the two economic powerhouses. The conference came amid commemorations of the 50th anniversary of China-EU diplomatic relations. The conference also comes after months of concerted efforts by the EU and China to improve their economic and political relations. In February, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen emphasized the importance of expanding trade relations with China. In April, China called on European nations to form a united front in response to America's tariff policies. Europe and China appear increasingly ready to lay aside their differences to collaborate more closely on economic matters. Biblical prophecy shows that this emerging partnership will soon grow into a massive global trading alliance with the purpose of sidelining America. To learn more, request your free copy of Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's book, Isaiah's End Time Vision. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.